This is Julie Hewitt. I'm the chair of the Pacifica National Board. It is the special meeting of the Pacifica National Board on July 28th, 2022. It is 8:37 p.m. on the East Coast. Mariana Dane, could you please take the roll?
I will. Teresa Allen. Okay.
She will be here. I'll text her.
Thank you. Probably Bert Cohen is not on the call. Jim Dingaman.
Yes.
Jim Dingaman? Huh. Can anyone tell me if Jim is on but muted?
No, he's not on.
Marianne, could you please mute? Marianne Martinez, sorry.
Yeah. Okay, Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Good. Sue Goodwin.
Here.
Good. Heather Gray.
Here.
Good. Donna Grimes. Not hearing anything. Evelia Jones. Not hearing anything. Ali Lexa.
Here.
Good. Marianne Martinez.
Present. Sorry, I was talking.
Yeah. Okay, James McFadden.
Here.
Good. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Good. Lawrence Reyes.
Presente.
Bueno. Sean Rhodes.
I'm here.
Good. James Sagerton. I thought I saw him. James Sagerton? No. I'll go around again. Sharon Salam.
He may be in transit. It might take him a minute to unmute.
James is here. I was muted. I'm sorry.
Gotcha. Okay. Sharon Salam. I hear nothing. Mark van Landert. I'm going to go around again. Beth van Gunten.
Here.
Good. Egberto Willis.
Vicente.
Bueno. Susan Young.
Here. And you, I think you missed, Akio Tanaka.
For whatever reason, he's on the very bottom of my list here. And I just, okay, AKIO. Hey, let's see, where was I? Julie Hewitt.
Here.
You are here. Akio Tanaka.
Here.
Good. Let me go around again. Has anyone heard from Teresa Allen yet?
Present.
He's on.
Good. Okay. Jim Dingaman. Any word on Jim? Okay. Donna Grimes, any word? Okay. Evelia Jones. Any word on her? Okay. Sharon Salam. Can anybody? Okay. Well, she's missing. Mark van Landert. Oh. Okay. And going on to staff. Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Good. Julia Kennard.
Here.
Good. Polina Vasiliev.
Here.
Good. I presume Arthur is not here for the open meeting?
No, I'm here.
Oh, you are here.
You put a report from council, so. I have some open things to report, so.
Okay. And John Tatum, I saw that Mr. Tatum just came on.
I'm here.
Good. I am here. So I believe we have a quorum.
Got it. I found my mute button. The next item on the agenda is the chair reads report out from the closed session, but of course there isn't one this week because I read the report. I mean, because we didn't have a closed session last week because remember last week we decided to adjourn the meeting early by postponing the agenda to this week so that people could pay attention to the January 6th hearing. So a report out from last week. Excused absences. Would anyone like to make a motion regarding excused absences?
This is Heather. I move to excuse them.
Thank you. A second?
Second.
Got it. Any objections to excusing the absences of those who are not here this evening? I'm hearing a lot of noise, but actually I'm also noting that Avelia Jones has joined us. Correct, Avelia?
Yes. Yes.
Any objections to the motion excuse those absences? Hearing none, those absences are excused. Identify timekeepers. I need someone willing to time people.
I'll do it, Julie. This is Heather.
Thank you, Heather. And
I'll do topics.
Thank you, Susan Young, to keep time for topics. Okay, so then the next item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. And I shall hit the high points on the agenda approval. First, we have, item number three, but it's approving minutes from two prior open sessions. Item four is a few minutes of chair's announcements. Item five is the executive director report and Q&A. Item six is the CFO report and Q&A. Seven is the legal counsel report and Q&A. Item eight is unfinished business, which is the governance committee report carried over from the July 7th meeting. Item nine is new business, where we have six motions listed. And then item 10 is adjourned to closed session at a time certain of 10:30 p.m. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda as drafted or as distributed?
So moved.
Thank you, Susan. Second? Someone?
Second, Lawrence.
Thank you, Lawrence. Is there any discussion of the agenda? All right. Are there any objections to approving the agenda as presented? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Okay, so let's keep motoring then. Approving minutes of the open session of July 7th and July 21st. This is a 3-minute item.
Move approval.
Thank you. Is there a second? That was Susan Young. Would someone like to second Susan's motion to approve those minutes?
I'll second. This is Marianne.
Thank you, Marianne. Appreciate that. Is there any discussion of the minutes of July 7th? We'll start there. Hearing none, is there any discussion of the minutes of July 21st? All right. Hearing none, are there any objections to approving both of those sets of minutes as distributed? I hear no objections. Those minutes are approved. Of course, if people later find things about those minutes that they would like to raise to the attention and modify, that's certainly possible to do. Okay. New item on the agenda in terms of our standing agendas. I put a couple of announcements on chair's announcements for 10 minutes. So this first one is an announcement regarding the FCC petition on the WBAI license. And I sent these to Marianne. I sent them to you by email, in time for the July 21st meeting so that you don't have to, capture every word I say. You have them in email. But this first one, listen carefully, folks, because this is really important. In addressing the FCC petition on WBAI's license renewal and the proposed suspension of a director, the Pacifica National Board agreed to the two, following two stipulated facts. A, Donald Goldmacher did not sign nor file the petition to deny the foundation and or WBAIFM a renewal of its broadcasting license, which petition is presently pending before the Federal Communications Commission, FCC. B, Mr. Goldmacher requested persons sign the petition. However, he did not play a leading role within any faction or group of persons in the preparation and or filing of the petition to the FCC. Those are the two stipulated facts. Anyone who says anything about this matter other than the above does not represent the Pacifica Foundation. Anyone includes Pacifica staff, paid and unpaid, management, and members of governance, including national board directors and local board delegates. That's the first announcement. Any questions about that before I move on to the next one?
Quick question, is any action needed?
I don't think so. This is just, you know.
Thank you. This is what Arthur negotiated on our behalf and did
exactly.
A superb job.
We stipulated those two facts, and mostly what we wanted to do is be very clear with the public that those two facts are the case because, in fact, you know, I think there have been some statements out there that have been contrary to those and wanted to make sure that everybody heard those two facts. So then the second
chair.
Yes.
Go ahead. Recognize?
Yes.
Could you send us the text and maybe send that to the LSB chairs?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because today I was talking to someone who brought that up. I mean, it's just a rumor that she keeps on going.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me add that one of the things, how we decided to handle this is I'm going to send that announcement to Stephanie, who will share it with staff, you know, the GMs and who are to share it with staff at the stations. And I'm going to share it with all the LSB chairs and secretaries who will then, share it with all the LSB delegates. Okay. Yeah. So just to make sure that the word gets out. And had we gotten this far in our meeting last week, that probably would have already happened. So my apologies about that. Yes, Lawrence, go ahead.
So usually at KPFK, we have a tradition of, providing written reports, director's written reports. Can we include this since you announced it in the public domain?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
In fact, that's a fabulous idea. I like that. Thank you. Anything else before I move on to the next item in chair's announcements? Okay. The next item of chair's announcements, having set the stage, with the fact that Donald Goldmacher resigned, as a director, a listener director from KPFA during the month of June, I just wanted to introduce Aki Tanaka, who has been elected by the KPFA LSB to replace Donald as a listener director from KPFA to the PNB. So, Aki, would you like to say hello or say a word or two and introduce yourself to the rest of the board?
Sure. I was on the PNB in 2017, so I'm happy to be back.
Great. Thanks, Aki. And then the third announcement that I wanted to make, I'm pulling it up right now.
Point of information.
Yes, go ahead, Teresa.
Will we be voting on who will be seated for KPFA on the committees today?
Yeah, hang on. That is a motion that is later on the agenda that we
approved
already. Good point. Good question, but it's on our agenda. So the next item that I wanted to make as a chair's announcement is we've got some motions later on the agenda. I don't know whether we'll be able to get through the entire agenda this evening before adjourning at a time certain of 10:30 because, of course, we have important things on the closed session agenda that we have to get to. So I'm going to make this announcement, though there are some things that it's conceivable that we would get to later on the agenda that would, you know, shed more light on this than what I'm about to read. But Pacifica agrees that fair elections are the backbone of democracy at Pacifica and what makes Pacifica unique even within community radio. No one has proposed canceling the elections. We are, however, past the time when initial steps of an election would have begun, and elections are delayed due to a lack of funds. Elections will be coming as soon as the PNB is able to establish a timeline with reasonable assurance we can pay for elections. Please consider a donation to the national office to help pay for elections. So, as I said, we may have some motions later, but in case we don't get to those this evening, so that they can shed more light, wanted to make clear that that's where we are in terms of the national board and on elections at the moment. Any questions about that before we move on to
Chair, I just would like to add a comment to what you just said.
Sure, go ahead, Lawrence.
What the PNB is obligated to do according to the bylaws is to set a new timeline in order for us to have elections at some point in time. So, and that was noted with the referral of the citation that I provided from the bylaws. Thank you.
Thanks, Lawrence. That is so. Moving on, the next item is the ED report and Q&A, and this is a 20-minute item, and I turn it over to you, Stephanie.
Thank you very much. Sent out to everybody.
Oops, we've lost your audio, Stephanie. Are you in a dead spot, maybe? I think Stephanie was probably about to say that
she was dropped, Jer. She's not no longer in the Zoom.
No, I see her on my Zoom.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, but I don't.
Yeah, she's still there.
Okay. I think what Stephanie was probably saying was that, and Polina sent this around when she sent around the agendas to everyone, there was a third attachment, and that third attachment was a letter from basically staff at the units. And it's not just the radio stations. I believe it was also the affiliates as well. And I'm trying to pull that letter up right now. Okay, now I feel like perhaps we've actually lost Stephanie. Since we've lost Stephanie altogether now.
Maybe I'm calling her.
Okay. I was going to say what we could do is go on to the CFO report, but the CFO just offered to call. To call the
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'll report if we want a quick interruption.
Yeah, go. Yeah, Arthur,
one back in.
Okay. Do you want to give your report, Arthur?
While sure. I mean the public
yes.
side of the report. We have signed and closed with FJC to extend the loan till October 31st, 2024. Same terms. We did, I call it a closing because we had to substitute the new Houston property for the old Houston property. But it was very, other than the fact that people that do closings are a pain in the behind. And require like 40 different pieces of paper to be signed. It went very smoothly and it is done, and we don't have nobody can say we're having imminent, you know, crisis with FJC. It's over. That's over. So, and I think that's the only, but that's good news. I want everybody to know. And I'll talk about other things during the closed session, but that should be public.
Great, thanks. Are there any questions for Arthur?
Arthur, can you repeat the date? I got the year, but not the date.
October 31st, 2024.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Susan.
May I make a suggestion that we address the motion pertaining to KPFA nominations for the two committees?
Stephanie's back on the call. Yes. Stephanie, are you ready to give your?
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's quite all right. I assume you hit a dead spot, but now you're back. That's the important.
Yes. I was a little confused there when I started getting a phone call from Julia Kennard. It was like, wait, what? So I appreciate that. So I don't know where I cut off, but basically, I met with various staff members and general managers and program directors and managers of the different divisions. And we were just talking about brainstorming what we need to do moving forward, to secure the future of Pacifica, as well as various tasks that needed to be reallocated and put out there with the loss of NIDA. So what we came up with is what was attached to the agenda that was sent out by Paulina, and it's a letter from the staff, and I will read it to anyone who doesn't have it in front of them or who hasn't opened it up yet. So it says, it's dated today, July 28th, 2022. Dear Pacifica Foundation National Board of Directors, we as Pacifica staff are aware of the immediate threats to the continuation and future of our organization and the number of units that are viable. Today's situation is dire, a crisis to be sure. The loss of NIDA's aid and administration, as well as our current financial position, dictate that concrete actions need to be taken immediately and not postponed or ignored. We continue to fulfill our duties of running the operations of each division and working in the best interest of the foundation. However, the Pacifica Foundation National Board of Directors is chartered, empowered, and has an affirmative duty to manage and direct mitigating strategies for the organization. The board's function, among many other things, is to provide the vision, mission, and goals of the organization, as well as solutions to the current crisis. We are keenly aware of our dependence on the board to respond to the situation in a measured, thoughtful, and realistic way. As an elected board, you have a fiduciary duty to represent and protect our members' interests and investment in the company as stakeholders. The board must protect the assets as well as the continued viability of Pacifica. This imperative includes protection of the Pacifica's organizational integrity, facilities, equipment, and our employees, our staff. There is no other alternative. We know that we face hard decisions, and we ask you, our board of directors, to fulfill your duties and responsibilities in providing direction and solutions. Some immediate concerns are the potential for seizure of assets, loss of radio licenses, loss of reputation of the Pacifica Foundation, failure to fulfill the Pacifica mission, damage to the professional reputation of Pacifica's loyal staff, ethical labor relations, demoralization, and potential resignations of essential staff, conflicts of interest, vulnerability to corruption and ethical issues, lack of responsible business management, layoffs of essential staff and contractors and labor issues, loss of valuable board members, loss of a vital democratic media institution that is needed more than ever at this time for our country. We are prepared to offer our professional expertise and work together in an ongoing process and greatly appreciate your willingness to seek solutions. The need for immediacy cannot be overstated. We are asking for you to define realistic solutions and plans for the future of Pacifica, develop the culture of cooperative and compromise needed for solving problems, clarify the authority of the managers, protect the assets of the organization, including staff, engage in sober, informed, and realistic assessment of Pacifica's assets and liabilities, build effective and respectful communication between board members and staff, place the mission of the organization above personal agendas, create organizational and governance clarity. Please communicate with us in a timely manner that you have heard and understand our concerns. We are prepared to work with you and await your response. Sincerely, your loyal staff. And it's from KPFA, KPFK, KPFT, WBAI, WPFW, the Pacifica Affiliates Network, the Pacifica National Office, and the Pacifica Radio Archives. So what we really wanted to do as a staff, and I've had conversations already regarding this just briefly with Julie, James, and Beth, is that we want to be able to have key members of the staff, the general managers and the program directors, not a huge amount of individuals, but just to be able to create a working group with members of the board, not any sort of official, committee where we'll have to vote members in, but just a working task group, very similar to what we did when we were trying to work out the logistics of the first national fund drive, and just be able to work together to have a nice, strong strategic planning process put into place with, as you know, we were hoping with immediate solutions that we can look at that are realistic, and just make certain that the staff is involved in some of these decisions regarding the future of where we need to go and what we need to do to get us back to financial stability. Does anybody have any questions?
I see Sue Goodwin and then Susan Young. Sue Goodwin.
Okay, as you know, I'm new to the board. I'm not new to Pacifica. I actually did a term paper on Pacifica when I was in college a long time ago. But what I want to ask is, I assume throughout our history, we have been subject to financial difficulty and questions about our status through the FCC, etc. What's different now? Is it different now?
I can only speak on behalf of how long I have been here, which has been just about 7 months, and then also just looking through historical documentation that I can find. It appears as if there, and please, by all means, anybody, please, you know, correct me as I'm wrong, I'm sure. The financial issues that we're facing right now have really come to a point where there aren't a lot of alternatives that are out there, and we are kind of working at this point from pay period to pay period, and because of that, we are not paying a lot of our vendors. And some of the past due payables that we have been ignored for multiple years. We have some vendors that, you know, haven't been paid in 2 or 3 years. And so it's been a point of always trying to get around the subject or, well, we'll make it this month. You know, let's just try to see what we can do. And it's been miracles, actually. And it's been amazing that there is some sort of, you know, something smiling down upon the world of Pacifica. And I don't see us going anywhere in the near future. But there have been decisions that have been made to not pay certain vendors or not take a realistic look at the expenses versus the revenue. And that may be with, you know, ignoring programmatic changes, not really taking a look at what's causing a lack of listeners. And we have just incurred so many debts at this point that it is, regardless of how many fund drives that we're doing, it's not able to create a substantial, mark on the debts that we have. We're just kind of raising funds to exist for the next day. There's been, you know, some buildings that need maintenance that has been somewhat overlooked and ignored. And there are certain decisions that regarding staffing cuts that were, you know, I believe somewhat detrimental to the stations themselves when there were some key individuals, not just with people, but the positions, key positions that were eliminated. So it's kind of been a lot of putting our heads in the sand and not paying attention or really taking a realistic look at what lies ahead. And we're kind of at that point right now where people are requesting funds that we owe them and we're unable to pay at this time.
Thank you, Stephanie. That's clarifying.
Yeah. Susan and Young and then Mark. Yeah.
Just a quick comment regarding how bad is it. We're at collapse at KPFK. You know, it's a choice between sewer, power, AC, and people. And if I'm not mistaken, someone walked in with a $15,000 check. Otherwise, we would not have made payroll this last time. I will tell you that at KPFT, we move forward with a layoff and a staff reduction. We are borrowing funds to make payroll.
Okay. What are we going to do?
And you all at WPFW, are you ready to bail us out? It's that simple. So my question to Stephanie and to the board is, out of the strategic planning committee, we called on there to be a group that came together. I think, Stephanie, you were just asking for that. The executive director's employment agreement doesn't give you the authority to do that. Do you need authority from the PNB to do that? And can we make such a motion tonight?
To do that, meaning programmatic changes or
no,
staffing
meaning
changes?
Call together all of your managers and come up with essentially a short-term strategic plan for what we need to do to deal with the dire circumstances that we are in day to day.
Oh, that I think I can do. I don't think that I need, I mean, even just the staff meeting, what we've been doing is trying to talk about what we need to do moving forward and realistically talking to them about what does this mean? You know, when are we at the point when payroll may not be met? And I'm encouraging the managers that I'm meeting with to tell their employees, you know, and this is painful to say, but, you know, let us help you rewrite a resume. Let us start writing letters of recommendation. You know, let us give you the support that you need if you need to move on from Pacifica because we're cutting back on hours or there's a high chance that payroll won't be made. You know, I want to make sure that we give our staff the adequate tools that they need to move on to someplace else or get an additional job, or do whatever we need to do to support the staff that's been supporting us for decades. So what we're hoping and asking for is that when there are strategic decisions that are being made and decisions about the future of Pacifica, that the staff isn't ignored in this process, but that we all work together as a group for figuring out what we can do moving forward that's realistic. You know, as we cut back on staff hours, you know, that's saving money. It's not saving a substantial amount of money in some places when we start crunching those numbers. And is the short-term gain have long-term detrimental pain when we're losing valuable staff members? And then if we are cutting back on hours at stations, it's not just, oh, we're saving money, we're cutting back on the staffing hours, but we're also cutting back on actual manpower, feet on the ground, and people that are there doing the work. So if we're cutting back the staffing by one third or one quarter or whatever it may be, or full time to half time, that's also meaning that we don't have that many people working those hours. So what is the plan to cover that gap? How are we going to keep stations on the air? How are we going to keep programming moving forward if we're cutting back the hours of the people that are putting that programming together? Is that relying more on our volunteers, you know, to help us with that programming? Are we going to, you know, look at running 12 hours of programming and then putting that same 12 hours again on the air? Are we, you know, going to look to try to find some pre-produced programming? I know KPFK is looking at that to fill in some of those gaps. So there are a lot of moving parts besides just let's cut back hours. And so we just want to make sure that when that task force is created quickly, that the staff is part of that discussion because they're the ones that ultimately will be doing the work that the board is requesting them to do.
Thanks. Lawrence and then Jim Dingman. Lawrence?
Thank you. And for the timekeepers, remember that Stephanie's time doesn't get clocked. The time that gets clocked is the board members that are speaking. You know, that's a very heartfelt letter that came from staff. And it's a cry of hope, but it's also a cry for help. So I'm hoping that we jumpstart some planning in regards to how to respond, because they've identified, a lot of things and they're, asking us to do whatever we can that we can do. But the staff cannot operate on its own. That's why they're reaching out to the board. But I think they also have to, in some way, reach out to the community, be able to get the additional fresh ideas and some of the solutions to the problems that they reported. Somebody's typing on their computer. If you're typing, please mute yourself because I can hear it. So I think all hands on deck, and we've been saying this for the last couple of years that we have to put all hands on deck, that everybody has to contribute their grain of rice to the pot. And that, I believe that we should have a strategy session, not just on the committee level, but on a whole board level, some form of retreat, to organize ourselves and to respond, to what the staff just sent us. So, short of making a motion.
Time is up.
Okay, 15 seconds, Chair. Short of making a motion, I think we should consider a meeting as a board, in a strategy session to share ideas. And then we should also, put out a note to our listeners to share any ideas, because this is being streamed publicly. Thank you.
Thanks, Lawrence. Jim Dingman, then Sue Goodwin. Jim?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The answer to Sue's question is that yes, this is indeed different than the past. We've never had a situation where three stations are simultaneously collapsing. And let's be honest with the issues with the other two. Their audience is great. They're doing well, but their audience is also static. I'm looking at a document right now from 1999, which shows the amount of people listening to the stations was about 750,000 people. It's now about 320,000, and as I've said before, I estimate it's far less. So that's the vital problem. How do we change that? I've been arguing that for 10, 15, 20 years. So now, unfortunately, it's right smack dab in our face. I like the comment here in this letter, to develop the culture of cooperation and compromise needed for solving problems. That's a great statement. I have to say, though, that when we have a certain percentage of one part of our family here essentially trying to eliminate another part of our family, it's sort of hard to be in that mode. So anyway, I think that is a serious situation, and I'm planning, you know, we just have to get people listening to what we're doing. That's it. Simple as that. We got to get it up and get it up fast 2 to 3 times, and that's it. That's the solution, frankly.
Thanks. And I just want to be clear that I think Jim Dingman was referring to things that are happening at the Pacifica governance level, not something that's happening at the staff level. Sue Goodwin, then Beth Von Gutten.
Well, my comments follow on just what Jim was saying. Okay, we're in this situation right now in our country where what is considered mainstream Republican values are extremist, racist, insane values. And on the radio, we are the answer to that. How do we let people know that? People know that in these times is there. People know that Mother Jones is there, etc. But do they know we are there? This is the moment. And I think what I'm asking is, do we need to create some sort of a special committee that is only going to focus on raising awareness of what Pacifica has to offer? Because I really do think there are many, many people right now who are ready to accept, to believe in what we're doing, but they don't even know we exist.
Thanks, sir. Stephanie, did you want to respond, or should we go to Beth?
I completely agree that marketing and outreach of who we are and what we're doing and our rich history, we definitely need to play off of that. And that's probably a whole other part of the strategic planning that we need to do is marketing. I completely agree with that. But we also have some immediate things we need to do.
Thanks. Beth Von Gutten and then Lawrence Reyes. Beth?
Thank you. Yes. While KPFK is indeed in dire straits, it's premature to say that we are in collapse. I'm here to say we're still on the air. And I, for one, am not giving up, nor do I hear anyone else from the station, be it staff or delegates or other directors, ready to give up. So I want to just request that we take care in how we describe ourselves and each other and our circumstances, not to paint ourselves more negatively than necessary. I know we're right on the edge. I live it day to day. It's invading my dream life at night. That doesn't mean I'm giving up. So thank you.
I mean, Lawrence, then Julia Kennard. Lawrence?
Yeah, Chair, I just want to sort of somewhat correct the record. In regards to that the friction and the disagreements are within governance, that's true. We have survived three takeover attempts, if you will, for lack of a better word. But there's a lot of differences between the staff as well. So that there's a lot of disparities between staff as well. So, so if we're looking at a network-wide, problem to solve, then, we need to look at it holistically. And, my question to Stephanie is, do you have any prospects on the horizon? You know, you were brought in because of your fundraising capabilities, and I still, I haven't seen any fruit that has been added to the harvest, if you will. So do you have any prospects in the horizon? Thank you.
We have submitted a $50,000 request to a foundation recently for the for building repairs and improvements at KPFK. We also applied for another $50,000 grant through LA 2050 through the City of Los Angeles for general operating support with an emphasis on programming also for KPFK. We are also looking and working diligently to do the capital campaign for KPFT and also another capital campaign for KPFK, also just for building improvements on both sites. And then we also, Bert's just sent, Beth just sent to me some information regarding FEMA's 2022 Hazard Mitigation Grant Program and the Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities Program. So we're looking at that. The difficult part that I have in meeting with multiple major donors and also foundations, and I do that on a regular basis, is that we do not have stability financially, and it's difficult for them to commit to giving money to an organization where the money is just going to be used to pay past due payables, because people want to be able to have a return on their investment, even though it technically is not, you know, an investment that would give them income as one would with a regular investment. But even when you're dealing with the foundation or a major donor, they want to make sure that your funding is being put to good use and that there is long-term sustainability with the organization. And as of right now, we don't have a very clean record of long-term sustainability, even though we are existing and we're on the air and, you know, that's absolutely wonderful. And I don't see us going anywhere. We don't have a good history of fiscal management. And so it's difficult for somebody to look at putting in, you know, $100,000 to $500,000 or more when they know it's just pretty much going to be gone in an instant because it's paying back a bill that we have ignored for the last 3 to 5 years.
Thanks. Julia, then Susan. Julia?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to make one quick statement is, you know, it's hard being from the financial side, but I did want to say this. You know, being realistic does not mean that we're giving up. And I think that's so important to remember is it is truly brave and responsible to be realistic. And it's a, when you're realistic and being honest with staff, board members, your listeners, it's a cry for action. Being realistic is a cry for action and a cry for change. It is not a sign of giving up. It's, to me, a sign of we are here to fight. We've got to figure a way out of this. That's all.
Thanks, Julia. Well said. Susan Young.
Yeah, I would just like to say something similar. And to Beth, boy, I know you're not giving up. And we at T are not giving up. But, and you all took the, you know, you and Allie came forward with a negotiating position for staff. You were very courageous, and that's exactly what needed to happen. You were very hardworking about it. So those are the kinds of things I encourage us all to do. And I'd like to say to Lawrence, I was not a part of the selection process that brought in Stephanie, but the fiscal chaos long preceded her being hired and the current board being on board. It is calamitous. We do not have a good basis from which to seek funding from anyone. And if we cannot pay the bills out of our radio, out of our primary business, the question is whether we understand our business at all. There is no fairy godmother out there. We have got to do the hard work ourselves. Stephanie has worked is working closely with KPFT and has helped us frame the capital campaign in a way that is highly professional. And we're going to have to figure out how to make sure that the money goes to the capital campaign and doesn't go to pay past payables. That's one of the issues that we have to deal with. So Stephanie is doing what she should do, can do, but she cannot remedy 10 years of terrible management. And we're at 20 minutes. I move that we extend for another 10.
Jay, I second Lawrence.
Thank you, Lawrence. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 10 at 9:23 Eastern Time? Hearing no objections, we're extended for 10. Lawrence, then Jim Dingman.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan Young, for your very wise words. I'm not under no illusion whatsoever. I'm a realist. I deal with reality every day when I'm dealing with the lives of other human beings, and that is what Stephanie is doing as well. That's what we're all doing here. And my concern is just getting reports as to what grants are being applied for. What are the responses we got from those requests and those proposals? It's just accountability. It's nothing personal with Stephanie, because believe me, I know that she gets around, and she is addressing the audience of listeners, and I get dizzy just watching her, because she has a lot of energy, and we have been in a free fall. I don't know how we didn't sustain ourselves better with this person that we just had for president 4 years ago. I don't know how we didn't, but with the Bushes, we were in good cash flow. Now all of a sudden, I don't understand it. There's something, and you know, I know somebody said, is the economy stupid? I don't think it's the economy, it's the programming, that needs to be, refreshed, and those grids need to be, refreshed and also populated with, different type of stuff as well. So. That's all. Nothing personal about Stephanie. I think she's doing a hell of a job. Thank you.
Thanks. I'll just add just a quick point to what Lawrence suggested. I think part of what's going on is not the economy, but the competition that we have for our attention these days. There's so many options out there. So anyway, it's Jim Dingman, then Heather Gray.
Well, I'm glad that the staff decided to collaborate, and I do agree that Stephanie has been presented with a daunting task. I always compare it like, you know, she put on her parachute and jumped into Dien Bien Phu on May 1954. It's a tough situation to deal with, and I don't expect somebody from the outside to master all the little innards of 30 to 40 years of all the different internecine fights and feuds and all that, but we got to get beyond that. You know, and we have a limited time because, you know, and Lawrence Ritz raised a good point. Why did we not grow during the time of Trump? That always amazes me. And now we have the possibility that the SOB could be elected again. So, you know, we got to really get our act together fast. I'd say, you know, like every day should be regarded as a week from now on until we get this thing turned around. Thanks.
Heather Gray.
Yes, I'm going, my unmuted, yeah, I'm going to be brief. Julie, I agree with you and some other statements that were made earlier that the history and the importance of community radio and of Pacifica really needs to be told to the public overall. And I think one of the issues, as Julie was saying, and I agree as well, there's so many different media platforms now in America and throughout the world, which means that we're in competition with all of them also, which is a challenge that we need to face. But I do think we need to educate the public about the importance of community radio and about the history of Pacifica. It's so incredibly important. So I think one of the things we need to do is create some kind of group that will start doing that, actually. So we'll talk more about that later. And we'll bring it up also in the programming committee meeting, I need to say. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Great. Jim Dingman.
Yeah. And what I find glaring in that letter is the absence of talking about how backwards we are in terms of social media, in terms of digital forms of communication. We have not integrated ourselves into that in any significant full way for the past 20 years. There are shows that do that, but it's sort of surprising to see staff decide to write a letter asking us to lead. And, you know, I have a lot to say about that. I think would be better in closed session, but you know, I mean, it's not like nobody's blameless in this situation. It's not like people have been standing around twiddling their thumbs for the last 25 years. There are a lot of players in this problem, and everybody has. It's sort of like Pogo. We've met the enemy, and he is us. That's how we got to be honest and go forward on this.
Thanks. Heather again?
Yeah, just briefly. I just want to tell everyone, some in the meeting tonight know about this. Actually, I introduced Jim Dingman to Samuel Pia, who is a friend of mine. And Samuel is the descendant of Singbay Pia, actually, who was the leader of the Amistad Rebellion. So the Pias are from Sierra Leone. I just want everybody to know that Samuel said to me, Heather, I want to create a community radio station in Sierra Leone. So I just wanted to share that with you all. It's just another indication of the importance of the work that we do. Thanks.
Thanks. I just want to add one tiny bit about, you know, Heather's point about community radio, which is the incredible thing about Pacifica is that we have stations with large signals vis-a-vis, you know, some of our competition in terms of other community radio. And I don't necessarily mean, you know, some of them are low power stations, right? But their reach is really quite limited. And so, you know, it would be sort of criminal for us almost not to somehow, you know, take advantage of the situation that we're in. Stephanie, we've exhausted the stack. Is there anything else that you wanted to add as part of your ED report?
A lot of it I already pretty much covered here for the open session regarding, you know, grants that are out there floating around and just updates on working together with the KPFT team and with the capital campaign, and that we're still working closely, taking a look at all the other stations regarding reducing expenses and looking at cutting back on staff hours as well. And then again, still also looking at different things that we need to do to increase the revenue as well. But again, as Julia will cover in her presentation next, is that we do take a look pretty much every single day, you know, as to who are we not paying this week, because we want to make sure that we get some of those other key things. But we're very slowly chipping away at a lot of these past due payables, and, you know, trying to at least try to maintain a good relationship with some of these vendors of ours. So we're working on trying to get that done.
Thanks. With that, I think we're the next item on the agenda is the CFO report and Q&A, and that's a 10-minute item. Julia, go ahead.
Okay. Yes, we've already talked about a lot. Just as an update, we did present the June financials Tuesday night to the National Finance Committee, and those are going out this evening to the stations. But their local finance committee chairs do have those already. They received the updated version this afternoon. I do want to just, you know, kind of bring it back to the realities of what we're facing right now. You know, as people have said, you know, we have three stations that are in iffy situations with the cash in various stages. KPFT and KPFK are in the more serious realm. WBAI, I feel, is on the edge. I feel like WBAI, given their payroll level and my knowing what their average daily fundraising typically is, you know, they are definitely, in my opinion, in a place where they could make payroll for August 15th. They would not be most likely be able to pay little to any of their past due payables in doing that. I won't go into the details, but you know, they could raise enough money to hit payroll. KPFT, you know, even though their payroll is a lower amount, I'm under the impression there's not a lot of fundraising going on right now. I know that there are plans for some capital campaign. I believe there's some plans for a shorter regular fund drive during the month of August, but they do have aged payables that are starting to grow. You know, again, KPFT is a smaller situation, so it's not as dramatic as we would say that would be at KPFK, you know, which has a larger staff and definitely has experienced, you know, a decrease in the amount of revenue that's been generated over the past several years. You know, to be more specific about KPFK, and to help people understand, you know, they have $11,000 today. And it's July 28th. Of course, now we just funded payroll and health. And so, you know, we're good for right now, but you know, payroll is due. We have to have payroll together and ready by August 11th because of the blooming calendar. And, you know, so we lose a couple of days because the 15th is on a Monday. And so that backs up, you know, when that has them lose a day or two extra of fundraising capability. So, you know, they, by the 11th and I'd say in between now and the 20th, you know, they have at a minimum 37, you know, about 50, probably $55,000 that they need to have. And that doesn't sound like that much, but unfortunately, if they're not in a fund drive, which I recognize people are tired and, you know, don't want to be constantly bombarded with premiums and pitches and all that. But, you know, $55,000 is a lot for them to have to raise simply to cover payroll and the electricity for the tower. And, you know, the postage that they're going to need to be able to get the premiums out from the May and June. And that doesn't include the $23,000 that they think they need to spend to cover the premiums that were, that are affiliated with the May and June revenue that was generated. So I've just talked myself into really $75,000 at a minimum that they should be spending just to buy the premiums to cover May and June, just to cover August 15th payroll by the 11th. You know, that's the reality, and that's not paying anything else. Stephanie is right. We work very closely together every week, and I was telling you know, Ali today that, you know, we were behind, KPFK was behind with, you know, some tower rents and things like that that are associated with being on the air. You know, that thing that's that priority right after payroll is one of those things that we have to do to make sure we stay on the air. And, but we've been able to catch up. Fortunately for them, those expenses actually are nowhere near as expensive as they might be at a WBAI or a WPFW. But they do have other expenses. So, It's challenging. I will say on another note, we're closing in on the end of the audit for fiscal year 21. We were hoping to have our second draft this afternoon, but I haven't received it yet, so hopefully I'll have it in the morning. But the plan is now, we have not heard anything different, that the audit committee will meet Monday night to review that. So any questions? I know this isn't a regular meeting, so.
Yeah, no, are there questions for Julia? Susan Young, go ahead.
So what is it that what do we need to have in the bank by August 10th in order to make payroll? And where do we stand on that? Make payroll and health.
Well, so health is funded in the week before. So they funded payroll and health this past week for August. Well, let me say this. August payroll, health was funded this past week. By say the 26th or 27th of August, they will need to have the money together for September health. So they have a little bit of breathing room there until the end of August to get the September health insurance, together. For August 15th payroll, that's $37,000 that we need. Well, of course, we have 11, but we have to have the money to be able to pay the electricity bill, which is due around the 15th or 17th, something like that. You know, it's higher. You know, we were averaging 7,500. Well, just, it's up over 11,000 now. Plus we have the past.
Because of the renegotiated,
No.
Okay.
Usage.
Because it's hot.
No, that 11,000 is just the basic bill. It doesn't include the 3,500 or so that we pay for the past due. So, that's why I say, you know, that 11,000 I'm kind of putting to the side and saying, well, that's a chunk that we need for electricity. We really need to, you know, at a minimum, just to fund payroll and be able to do the postage is going to be 50,000.
And so at the moment, we do not have all the cash we have in the bank will be needed for electricity. And we do not, we have to raise 50,000 between now and, in order to move forward with payroll.
Correct. We need to be able to wire to the payroll account on the, the 11th. On August 11th, the $37,000. You know, electricity is due again, like it's around the 15th.
Got
but,
it.
You know, of this 11,000, I know that the staff is chomping at the bit to get premiums out that have been sitting there because they haven't had a postage machine. So that's going to be, I would think, at least $1,000. I mean, usually on a regular month, that's $1,000 a month at least. So I'm sure that they'll probably have several thousand dollars in postage in the next month or two. Plus, they've got to pay for the premiums. That's $23,000 at a minimum from talking to staff. They have not placed those orders yet, but we need to get them in a position where we can stage those orders so we can get some of that going and get it out the door, because that's the last thing we need is, you know, having listeners not receiving their premiums.
Any other questions?
And then, of course, there's the air conditioning situation. We were blessed that the power, the electrical electricity, AC, whatever it was, I think it was mostly electrical, which ties into the AC probably, was only, and I say that, I was actually excited that it was only $1,200. We received the bill for that today, but we still have issues in the, in one of the studios that we've got to get under control, that they're still trying to get quotes. That's going to be a few thousand dollars for the air conditioning.
I realize I shouldn't be doing back and forth, but how's the sewer situation?
We're taking that day by day. Actually, I wouldn't even say day by day. It's working right now. We anticipate that there is going to be a problem at some point where we will have to do some digging in the parking lot. But we had Ali and I had that conversation today. He said that right now they're okay.
Thanks, Julia. Any other questions for Julia?